A5, number 7B.
Then we come on page 102 to ideas. Oh yes, now we begin to see what are the formations of mind. We only could see that mind is the creator, the cause, the producer, that it forms and there are formations of mind, but we never knew up to now what, or have not yet stated, what are the forms of mind. The formations of mind are ideas. So we begin to see when we are still within our consciousness and say, golly, this is terrific, that divine mind produces and creates only ideas. No thoughts, no illusions, no wrong situations. That divine mind only has ideas, and these ideas are the emanations of mind, that therefore we are under the influence of the ideas of mind. Can you hear how I blend them? I interrupt always the flow of the inspirational and show you method, because when you are at home, it doesn't help you that I'm inspirational. The only thing that will help you is method. So you can see how you can take the other ideas in and and see, all right, if mind only produces and creates ideas, that these are the forms of excellence that mind forms and shapes and builds, then I see that I am only under the influence of ideas, never under the influence of anything else. I can never be under the influence of thoughts, neither of good thoughts nor of evil thoughts. Don't feel that it is a good thing to be under the influence of good thoughts. That's just benevolent magnetism. We are under the influence only of ideas. The divine mind is expressing itself in us and as us as ideas of the one mind. And these ideas, as we have seen, are powerful, are active. See how I go back to the other ones? That these ideas are creative, causative, that only ideas produce something right, and because they reflect the divine mind as the creator. And I suddenly feel myself to be in a realm of ideas, in a realm of ideas which is a realm of active ideas, powerful ideas, ideas that alone influence everything that happens. Then we have on 103 image, we get here to the point that these ideas that the divine mind has are the image in mind, that mind always has only one picture, one image, one model which it has in mind, namely the model of ideas, the image of ideas. So very often you have with mind that sense of image, of model. What else do we have here? That's all what we have. Yeah. Then we have, now I get into trouble, huh, with you. 104 on the top line are images of thought. Huh? I have to get out of that one now. So you can see what happens. Huh? The divine mind that has only ideas come to us as ideas and form new models of thought in us. See, you have the translated form that ideas come to us, not thoughts come to us from God, but ideas come to us and form within us, now I come to the relative, form within us new thoughts, divine thoughts, new models of thoughts. That's the translated form of ideas. So it comes right down to the human and give us a new realm of thinking. But they are coined and formed and shaped by ideas. So that's where you have to make the distinction. to see that sometimes Mrs. Eddy would show what mind itself is and produces, namely only ideas, but then also show what it does to the human. And into the human, it gives to the human new thoughts, divine thoughts. That's what then is called God's thoughts. But God doesn't think. But in the translated form, it appears to us as good thoughts, as a new thought, as a terrific thought, as a helping thought, as a saving thought. But actually what happens behind it is the ideas of mind coming to us. Yes, so we come to these thoughts, to scientific thoughts. See, they are translated forms. 105, light. This is a natural symbol, and more I would like to exclude really natural symbols from our vocabulary as ideas, because they are not so clear as other ones, especially with light. You know, if one is not very careful and always knows this is only a symbol for, say, intelligence or enlightenment or new thoughts or new vision, that it is only a symbol, then one is tempted to think that light, the very light, is a divine quality. You have all those many, many metaphysical groups in America and in the East that make a lot out of physical light, and see physical light as a manifestation of mind, of God. And therefore they want their body to shine with light. Or they want to see an aura of light over the head of the people. Like Aurobindo, you know, Sri Aurobindo, when he died, they said that he was shining like a light for 3 days when he was laying dead there. They make out of light an idea of God, the physical light. Whereas for us, light is only a symbol for something bigger than physical light, and it's enlightenment. It's a symbol for wisdom, for intelligence, for vision, for new insight, for scientific thought. And so let's always be clear about that. Naturally, we say in the ordinary language, could you give me some light on this and this? Not meaning, can you turn on the electric light on this and this, but can you give me some insight, some clear vision, some clear understanding on something? And in this way we use light as a symbol. Yeah. So we go down in light. Yes, there you have, for instance, presents. Because Mrs. Eddy says, mind presents first in light. Mind illumines, we have there. Brings to light. Further down after the middle part, we have light or comprehension, illumination, inspired thought, vision, discovery. See, this is really what stands for light. Discovery, illumination, inspired thought. So no inspiration comes from any other source. So it doesn't come from a rite, from a ritual, doesn't come from brain, it doesn't come from scholarly attainment, from scholarly studies, it doesn't come from a memory bank, from nowhere but from the divine mind. There, from there comes new vision. Actually, only the big new vision must be something that is not already stored up in a memory bank, which everybody has, or it isn't really something terrific new. It's just only a rearrangement of something. But if we go right to the one mind and see that we have only that mind which is God, and that that mind naturally knows all and comprehends all and sees all and is all intelligent and all-knowing, then from that mind we receive really the illumination, we receive inspired thought, we receive new vision, and something completely new can open up. That's the great quality of opening ourselves to the influx of the divine mind. And not to try to go back to our memory bank, and to try to memorize and say, what did I learn here and there? How did my teacher or my practitioner say this? Not to go to another source for enlightenment than just to the one mind. This is a great, great issue. See, and this is the issue of each student, especially among us, that they don't feel, if I have to know something more, let's go to our teacher, let's go to Max or to him or that or the other. Always go to the divine mind. Shut yourself up in a nice little corner, get still within yourself and see that you are one with the divine mind, that the divine mind is not somewhere up there and you have to call it down as a vision, but that we are in the state of being the one mind. That's our natural state of being mind. And that one mind that we have, is the mind that illumines. And the more we shut out all the false conception, false sense, the better that divine mind can talk to us and can find ways and means and channels and symbols through which to interpret itself to us. And we receive it as illumination, as a new vision, as a new model of thinking, a new way of thinking, and something opens up in a way that we have never been thinking before. 106, mind manifests itself. So mind, that is the cause, the power, the action, must be the manifestating power. Can you see, if you ask yourself, what means manifestation? Then you see that manifestation implies that there is a cause at work that wants to express itself, that does express itself, and brings out what it is. You feel at once without cause, without power, and without action, there is no manifestation. So manifestation includes all that, includes the concept of cause, concept of power, of action. Can you see in this way how actually the tonality builds up and you get freer and freer of terms? Say, just with the term manifests itself, you include cause, first cause, power, action, producer, origin, all that is embedded in it. So little by little, finally, you will just think about mind. Then you have everything in it. And then, really, the infinite is being reduced to simplicity. So mind manifests itself, expresses itself. Therefore, there is no other manifestation. You go to the negative. Evil cannot manifest itself. Inharmony cannot manifest itself. Human thinking, human will, intentional evil cannot manifest itself. It has no channel, it has no possibility, it has no place, it has no time to manifest itself. It just can't, because mind, that is all manifestation, the only manifestation there is. Mind, the next one, is all-knowing. Therefore, mind knows all. Then you have in italics, comprehends all, apprehends all, perceives all. Can you see it all under the term of all-knowing? So little by little you fill in this all-knowing with lots of other terms that are not in the compendium and not in the textbook, and yet they all will refer to that all-knowing, to perceiving, foretelling, foreseeing, informing, all that is in the knowing. Then on the next page, oh yes, there we have foretells, foresees, because it's all knowing. Comprehends, apprehends, perceives. Down at the bottom of 107 is information, informs all. We have the infinite information on 108, that it is all knowledge, that this knowledge is imparted and transmitted, that we learn. All that has to do with that process of mind's ability is really here expressed. Also then intelligence, here 108, is one of the main ideas of mind, that mind alone is intelligence. Actually, that's terrific. We will make an exercise perhaps tomorrow or so with intelligence to see how we can use then such an idea. Now I just can point out, if mind is all intelligence, or is intelligence is all knowing, therefore that mind is the only intelligence, therefore there is no intelligence in matter, there is no intelligence in the brain, therefore we don't have to rely on the intelligence of matter, to rely on the intelligence of the brain, to rely on the intelligence gathered through learning, through scholarly attainment. There is no intelligence in all that. The real intelligence and wisdom is somewhere completely different, namely in the divine mind. All those very intelligent people, the professors and so on, they usually are those who have the least wisdom in daily life, because their intelligence is not real intelligence, it's just knowing a specific field in a material way, but that has nothing to do with the intelligence of mind. That's another intelligence. It has nothing to do with knowing data and having a good memory, but it has to do with that faculty of the divine mind to be able to understand and to comprehend. So always we fall back when we have to do something we have never done, we don't know how to do it. Always fall back on mind. Say, mind knows. I don't know. Mind knows. And you stay with that mind until that mind begins to manifest itself. How does it manifest itself? It manifests itself by emanating ideas. These ideas come to us. They form in us a new vision, a new apprehension, and something that we begin to discover. And so in this way the true intelligence is working on us. I'm very hot on that intelligence, because I think humanly, from my birth, I wouldn't say I was very intelligent and wasn't expressing much intelligence. So I had to work it out with mind. I had to work it out, and I was able to work it out in my students' year in a way that I had never believed I would do it, on the ground of what I have inherited physically and humanly. But there is intelligence that is higher than any other intelligence if we rely on mind. And that mind certainly can give us a higher intelligence than everything else, and can show us new models of thinking about the world and see the whole thing in a new light, which all the so-called intellectual and intelligent people can never think about it. But I worked it out always. I worked out every step of my university career always on the basis of mind. I was working every day on the intelligence of mind. I knew I couldn't do it except mind would do it, quite clearly. And I did it, and I did it quite good. So rely on mind. Don't rely on your brain. Don't rely on what you have been learning. Your intelligence is somewhere else. It's in the divine mind. It's there. And it's there at the disposition of everyone, because we have that mind that is God. And God knows quite a bit, you know. Quite a bit. So we go to 109. To the mind of Christ, that we have that same mind that is God. And if we have the same mind that is God, then we have the ability of mind reading. That is immortal mind reading, not mortal mind reading. In other words, with the divine mind we can read reality. We can read, first of all, reality, and through the law of opposites we can read mortal mind when we need it, but only when we need it. So that as one cultures oneself in the seven synonymous terms, one gets to a very nice ability where you can read what is right, the divine ideas, you see the beauty of ideas, you see all the coherency of ideas, you begin to read how these ideas cooperate, how they complement each other, how they are calculated. And through the divine mind reading, you also begin to sense its opposite, through the law of opposites, when something is wrong, when something is fishy around you. Huh? When in the human mind, when the tricks of the human mind, the mortal mind, are also trying to reckon out things. And you begin to sense things which nobody tells you. Sometimes I could sense things right over here a few weeks ago, which not even those who had a false sense about it would know. And before they knew it, I knew it. And would know what trick they are going to play on me. I knew it before they knew it. Divine mind knows, you know. Divine mind has a very sensitive level, has a sensitive wavelength. Terrific. And it can detect through the law of opposites what mortal mind wants to play on you. And you just can stay with the divine mind and stay there and let the mortal mind fall by its own weight. But that's how Jesus would be able to walk through the multitudes and sense where mortal mind was at work and could correct it and heal it. And so this is a normal thing, this is not an abnormal thing. See, mortal mind reading as the clairvoyant are reading it is an ability which I don't have in the least. Not in the least. I'm not in the least mediumistic. I can't do these things. I have tried it just to know where I am and to where I have tried it out. I'm not in the least mediumistic. I can't read mortal mind per se. Nothing at all. But I know something about divine mind reading, and that divine mind reading, by its law of opposites, uncovers to each one when something is in danger. When the idea is being attacked, then one notices it. But not by going up and down the main street and reading the minds of everybody that passes you. My golly, this would be hell. But that's what Mrs. Eddy brings out in the chapter on spiritualism, you see, that divine mind reading is really reading the ideas of God and not the minds of people. But the ideas of God, by its law of opposite, will always become aware when the idea is in danger. You have faculties. Oh, here you have faculties. I was saying, yes. Oh, no, we said functions. Yes, here are the faculties. Huh? Naturally, if mind is intelligence, then it has all faculties. Now, think about it. I beg you, think about it. You are Christian Scientist, and you always say you are Christian Scientist. And the moment I hear it all over the place, the moment you have to do something, you say, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. Well, then you don't believe in Christian Science. If you believe in Christian Science in the least, mind knows everything and is all intelligence, then why not believe that you are all intelligence? And therefore have the faculties and have the abilities to do what the divine mind asks you to do. You have it. But it must, if one doesn't open up oneself to the divine mind, well, then naturally we shut ourselves out. So we must take these ideas serious. and not just saying, oh, it's wonderful, the divine mind has all faculties. The divine mind has it, you see. But it's the divine mind, not me. Huh? And you cut yourself off. But if we see that the divine mind is not somewhere a God up there, but that the divine mind is our present state of consciousness, our very living, present, actual state of being, then we know we have what we need. And if we are asked to do a job, no matter if we have ever done it or not, we can do it. And we don't have to ask, do I have the prerequisites? Have I been trained for it? Have I had experience in it? No, you do it. Because mind does it, and mind has all faculties. So I think the time has come when we free ourselves completely from all this human reckoning, huh? And begin to reckon divinely and have the divine calculus as our most natural state of being. And that says mind has all faculties. And therefore, I will have all the faculties for that which divine mind asks me to do. Well, the divine mind, I hope, will not ask me to play a piano. There I would have some doubts. Yeah. But the divine mind never asks to play a piano. I only ask ideas and to use ideas. Well, I just did that joke because you must see what the faculties of mind are, huh? That one does not confound them with human activities and things like that. They are ideas of mind, and if the ideas of mind translate themselves to the human plane and ask us to do things on the human plane, we can do them. But it must be the divine mind asking it and not us stating what we would like to do. I would like to play the piano. So it's the divine mind that has all the faculties. All right, we have to stop here, huh?